tell somebody happy Sunday. Get out of your seat. Hallelujah. Y'all good? Got your happy Sundays out of you? Amen, amen. Well, I just have a couple of announcements for you, and then I'll go ahead and get out of your way. Saturday, November the 17th at 9 a.m., we'll be having our Divine Thanksgiving Dinner. You should see the flyer up on your screen. It's going to be hosted by our dear brother and sister, the Lewises, if you will, both Latoya and her husband, DeJuan. We will be coming together on that Saturday morning, making dinners. It's open to the community for them to come by and pick up a plate. And we'll have a certain window of time for them to come by and pick up a plate. But then after that, we're going to load up the van with dinners, and we're going to go around the city of Castleberry and Fern Park and start passing out dinners to the hungry and the homeless that are in the community. So that's what we're going to do. If you know somebody that loves to serve the community, bring somebody with you so that they can serve in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Also, next Sunday, November the 18th, during our worship service, we'll be having Club Fire. Amen. The classic weekend edition featuring Rick Reed, Maestro Music, and guest artist D. King. Amen. Amen. I think this is going to be a wonderful and glorious time. Also, the Thanksgiving Pie fundraiser is still going forward. Make sure that you stop by Perkins and mention Divine Truth Christian Center. They have all types of pies. And when you go to that particular organization and you do buy a pie, they'll donate $2 on behalf of our ministry. Also, looking ahead, on Saturday, December the 1st, the Divine Design Women's Ministry presents Let's Have Brunch. Stay tuned for more details. Basically, they're going to go to Kiki. No, I'm just saying. Y'all see what I did there? You see what I did there? All right, all right. I tried to snide that one in there. But they probably choose something totally different, like First Watch or something like that. But nevertheless, just keep your eyes and ears open. If you have any questions, please see Sister Alicia Winsley. What we're trying to do is we're trying to get our ladies to bond even more and more and have fun outside of church. So if you want to fellowship with a sister in Christ, go ahead and keep your eyes tuned in for that, or ears tuned in for that. Also, Saturday, December the 15th, man, the year is almost done. Save the date for our Christmas party potluck. For more information, please see Sister Tiffany Davis or Akile Mara as well. Those individuals will be taking care of that particular event. And also, the family room is available right across the hall for our parents so that they can tend to their children and play with them just in case. We have, I forgot what the movie is, I think we got Paw Patrol going on over there right now. So if your child is having a Paw Patrol moment, you know, everybody has those moments. You could just go ahead and take them across the hall, put them to sleep, and then come right back on into the house of the Lord. Also, the Snack Shack will be open today. Make sure you stop by the lobby area right here in the front for our hot food and cold beverages. And the dining room and table and stove located in the concierge area is for sale. Please see Lady Martin if you're interested, or if you know somebody who would like to get the stove as well as the table from out of the lobby. And then last but not least, can you please put up the flyer for Truth Learning Academy, the one with the discounts on there? Do you have that one? The one with the discounts on there? All right, y'all got to read the multimedia inbox, all right? But anyway, Truth Learning Academy, and this is just as good for right now. Truth Learning Academy, we have different types of discounts that will be available for people who sign up their children In our particular daycare, which will be open hopefully in the next couple of weeks. So spread the word. Spread the word. Even if your children are above that age, please spread the word that we are a new daycare in the city of Castleberry, and it's going to be a great service to the community. You see the hours that are on the screen. We have all different types of discounts. It's called the Pick One campaign. And so in those particular campaigns, we have an area where you can get a free week after 30 days of your children being enrolled here. And that's a great blessing. We call it the free week pass. The second one is you get $50 off, I believe, on the first week if you sign up immediately. And then after that, there's a couple of other things that are out there. I just can't remember all of them from my memory. But just make sure that you visit the website, www.truthlearningacademy.org, and you'll be able to see those discounts that are out there. Spread the word. Spread the word among your peers and individuals that have small children. Always looking for a good daycare, so a place that is high quality, as well as one that is close by and in the vicinity of this community. And not only that, but it's also one that is faith-based. Amen. 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 Well, all our hearts and minds are clear. Let's go ahead and get our season of giving. Amen. Amen. So it's go ahead and time to give. Go ahead and get a seed in your hand. Go ahead and let's put up the reasons for giving, because we have a lot of people that kind of decided to watch this Sunday morning for whatever reason and things like that. It always happens at certain key moments and times, but for all of you that are watching online or will be watching online, make sure that you go to our website, www.divinetruthcc. We got two websites, y'all. divinetruthcc.org, and log on there and click on the give button so that you can sow the seed into this ministry. Also, Divine Truth, make sure that you continue to invite people to come to our particular ministry as well. There are so many souls that are in desperate need of Jesus. Amen. There are people that are falling away, deflecting, and for whatever reason, I don't know what's going on with the administration, but people have their eyes focused on Donald Trump more than Jesus, but Donald Trump can't save you, just like Obama couldn't save you. Oh my, oh my. See, you got to put yourself in the right perspective, in the right category. You can't expect a human to save you or to make your mood better. Those things are governed by God and God alone. In Him, you should put all of your trust. Amen. So what are the reasons for giving? Number one, you give because you love God first. That's the first and foremost reason. The second one is that you give 10% or more faithfully. That means that you have to be consistent. Consistency. Consistency is not always about attendance, because, you know, we're living in a different time right now where you have people that may come once or twice a month, and that's good for them. The rest of the weekend, they might be filling themselves with flesh. But other times it's just working or other things that are coming up. But you got to be consistent, at least in your giving, because we can't do the things that we're doing in this community without it. Amen. Amen. Also, you want to give to help your community, give to be blessed by God, which is number four, and also give as an act of service to the kingdom. And also number six, give because it is good ground. This is a good church, you all. It is a high quality church. It's a church that's reaching out to the community, and we do a lot of great and godly things. So why not tell somebody about it? Why not go ahead and load up the car with a couple of families and bring them to Divine Truth Christian Center? Amen. Amen. Next but not least, next is number seven, give with great expectation. And then finally, give gladly with a loving heart. God says that He loves a cheerful giver. And so we want to make sure that we continue to fall in the name of Jesus and give according to His word and His way. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and get a seat in your hand. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for this time. We honor You, Lord God, and we bless Your holy name. We thank You for Your kindness, Your mercy, and Your grace. We thank You, Lord God, for everything that You're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We got the TLA thing up there on the screen for right now. It's kind of late, but better late than never. Amen. Amen. Be blessed, people of God. happy Sunday. Happy Sunday. Happy Sunday. Yeah. Don't die down on the music until you see them sit down. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We'd like to welcome you to Divine Truth Christian Center, where God wants your dreams and visions realized. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We ask you, Lord God, to come into the midst of these, your people, Lord God. Lord God, I pray for those that were not able to come in for this morning service, those who were not able to be in attendance on today, Heavenly Father, wherever they may be, Lord God, bless them now in their respective places, whether they may be bedridden, whether they may be working, or even if they're feeling a crisis in their faith or feeling some kind of way this morning. Lord God, touch them in their prospective places and put you first in all things. We honor you, Lord God, and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. This morning's scripture is going to come from out of Luke chapter 15, verse 21 through 28. I was going to say something, but some things you got to put in God's hands. That's one thing that you cannot control is people. So God, get them or bless them. We'll do whatever you need to do. Amen. Luke chapter 15, verse 21 through 28 says, "And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight.'" You should see the verses on the screen. "And I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on it," or put a ring on his hand, "and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they begin to be merry," or throw a party in Jesus' name. "Now his older son was in the field," here it is, "and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. Why all the commotion? Why all of the noise that's going on here? And he said to him, your brother has come. And because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. Amen. The title of this morning's message, it'll make sense in just a moment. The One Who Stayed. The One Who Stayed. If you are unfamiliar with the verses of Scripture in one of the most famous chapters in all of the Bible, Luke chapter 15, it alludes to the story of the prodigal son. Jesus spoke this particular parable, which speaks deeply to those of us who have had a crisis in faith and have experienced the following phases, even this morning. Number one, being close to God, then turning away from God, falling into judgment, having a moment of clarity, repenting with a confession, and finally, a return to God with feelings of unworthiness, only to find out that the Father's arms are wide open with a roaring celebration of the return. All of heaven rejoice when one sinner comes into repentance, when one wayward brother that was once in the house goes to the world and indulges in all types of things and indulges in all types of fantasies and hooked up with a citizen of a far country, hooked up with one of the boys that won't come to church, won't get into the things of God, and then finds himself in a pig slop eating corn on the cob, if you will, just to be able to make it to the next day, squandered all of his father's belongings and wealth, and then he comes to himself. He says, I'm going to repent to my father and tell him all the things that I did. Just like it says in verse 21, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be your son. Being close to God, turning away from God, falling into judgment like the pig slop, having a moment of clarity, a coming to oneself, realizing that you are wrong and you need to get right, and then repenting with a confession, and finally turning back to God after all of that. Sometimes we feel unworthy because we know that we should be doing better because we know better. Sometimes we won't come back because we are fearful of what people think or what they may say. But let me tell you the truth, them people ain't even thinking about you. Most folk are just trying to get a little bit of Jesus for themselves. Amen. When Jesus spoke these words, that's who was speaking in this particular chapter. When he spoke these particular words, he was speaking to two audiences, two tickets, if you will, two tickets to paradise. The first were sinners. The first were sinners. The tax collectors, the publicans. Some of y'all will say the Republicans, but no. People need to understand that there's no virtue found in political parties. There's evil people across every spectrum, every religion. It is what it is. Sin is in every human, so it's not isolated to one party or another. So Jesus was talking to sinners, wine bibbers, tax collectors, when he was giving this parable. That was the very first audience that was there. But interestingly enough, there was another group of people that were there. The Pharisees, the, as we would say, the religiously elect. Some of you would say church folk, yeah. Who were wishing that he would just disappear. So the sinners were looking for him, but the religious folk were praying that he would go away. And they were all there listening to him at the same time. It's a strange dichotomy, because that's what's even in our churches today. You have people or sinners or individuals that want to hear about God. And then you have other folk that say, preacher, you need to entertain me because I really don't want to hear what you have to say. But I'm a preacher anyway. And Jesus did the same. Because in the grand scheme of things, God desires that all men come to repentance. You see that? Religious folk and sinners all have fallen short of the glory of God. But why was Jesus talking to two audiences at the same time with the same message? Well, again, he wants all people to come to repentance, to turn. That's what the word repentance means, to turn back to him. That's what he wants. But there's something else that I want to share with you all this morning. He also wants to reach out to ones who leave and get lost and the ones who stay and get lost.
Oh, my.
You'll get it in just a moment. I think the message today is specifically for the folk that are in here this morning. Because you're going to have the ones who leave and do what they want to, and they have a distant relationship with God. But then there's those that stay, do what they want to, and have a distant relationship with God. We'll touch on those that have left the Father and have gotten lost in this world. I'm going to talk about that this morning, but the emphasis will be on the one who stayed, the one who shows up every Sunday, the one who has a spouse that brings them to church, even though they won't want to, the one that is trying to do right, the one that is trying to listen, the one that is trying to go against the tide of overwhelming opposition from family and friends that want to live like hell, and you trying to go to heaven. The one that shows up on a Thursday night when they could be doing something else. The one that shows up on a Sunday morning when they could be out at the beach, could be out on iDrive, could be at Raymond James Stadium watching the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, or could be at Jacksonville preparing for a game at 4:30 right now. I never understood that. Why are you going to skip church for 5 hours when the event is at nighttime? Priorities. It is what it is. But Luke chapter 15, as we begin to break down this verse, I want to bring something out to you. Verse 21 says, and I repeat, and the Son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the Father said to his servants, bring out the best that I got. Put the robe on him and give him a ring on his hand and some shoes for his feet, some Jesus 100s. You get it in just a moment. And bring the fatted calf. We're going to eat and party like it's 9. Somebody will get that in just a moment. Can't be 1999 because it's 9th century. That didn't go across too well, Lady Martin. I'm going to keep on preaching anyway. Somebody like you just got somebody like, oh, 1999, not 99. No. Father, help me this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. To all my guests and friends here, that was my attempt at humor. It might have failed miserably, but at least I got a couple of laughs this morning. So he says, eat, drink, and be merry when the lost son, the youngest son, if you will, comes home. Verse 24 says, for this is my son, was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they begin to be merry. So that's the backstory of what Jesus was talking about. This is a throwback to the prodigal daughter that's in the Old Testament. You know, Gomer, Hosea, and Gomer. Gomer was doing whatever she wanted to, and she had a faithful husband called Hosea. God specifically said, Hosea, you're going to be with this wayward woman just so that you'll know what it feels like to be me. To love people that don't want to have anything to do with me, but yet call on me and use me on a regular basis and don't want to hear anything from me. If you want to pastor a church, you're going to have to go through the same thing. Give your last and still give your last to those that don't want anything from you. So Jesus was telling this particular story. And every time I hear about this story about the prodigal son, the one who turns around, it always brings a lot of joy and builds my faith in that we serve a God who is always looking to receive those that are lost. Those that don't say happy Sunday because they know that Monday is coming. Somebody told me the other day that Friday is the brother of Monday. Well, we're going to party on Saturday and Sunday then. So it builds my faith. It really brings a lot of joy in my heart when I hear that. Lost in the world, that's what the story of the prodigal son speaks to. People who are lost in the world, lost in their own interpretation of life and happiness, unaware of the traps and snares that living without a relationship with God entails. Not only that, but I can also picture the father lifting up the head of the wayward child as they enter the door with eyes full of tears, being embraced, never once mentioning the past. In this story, you don't hear him mentioning about how he squandered his goods. You don't hear him mentioning about how he was eating with the pigs and how he was smelly and rank. Notice how the story does not say that the man cleaned himself up before the father embraced him. So if you are wondering this morning if you need to clean up yourself before you come to the Father, I have good news for you. God says that he'll give you a bath after y'all start talking. Amen. Come as you are. Not that that doesn't have anything to do with clothes, but it talks about the condition of the heart. Come as you are, but I guarantee you that when you have an encounter with me, you will never be the same. You'll never be the same. So the father embraced him, not bringing up the old stuff. Some of us fight with our memories. Our memories are chains to the past. But Jesus said that a man cannot move forward with his hand turned back while his hands are on the plow. You have to move forward. So the father understood this. He understood where his son was. He could see his condition, but he'd said not a word. He was just happy that he was home. So this story brings joy because it is truly a scene of undeserved grace, restoration, and redemption for those that have turned away from God, but have decided to get right with God. But that's not really the story. The story is about the one who stayed. What about him? What about the one who is here every Sunday? Or at the synagogue, or at the meeting, or at Jesus' feet all the time? What's going through his mind in the midst of all the celebratory commotion? Well, Luke 15, verse 25 brings this out a little bit more. Then I'll be out of your way. Verse 25 says, now his older son was in the field. Because usually we stop there with the youngest son and don't say anything else. But the older son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. What's going on over there? So he called one of the servants and asked what these things mean. What? There was no party yesterday. There was no party during my birthday. There was no commotion when I was out in the field and all this stuff that's going on. I mean, I see the Father all the time. And it's not like this. So he asked one of the servants what all this stuff meant. And he said to him in verse 27, your brother has come. You know, your younger brother, the one that, you know, is tatted up from the floor up, the one that has gold tufas with an F, with the dreads, with, you know, the one that has a couple of kids around town. You know, the one that, you know, that y'all were in the choir when y'all were young, but then once he got out your mama house, that brother that said that he ain't never setting foot in church again. He's here today. He showed up. And because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. The fatted calf represents a sacrifice, an offering, if you will, of stuff that for something that the young man, he didn't have anything to offer. So the father gave him more in his condition. Isn't that crazy? God sometimes gives the black sheep of the family more. You ever wonder why grandma always gives more to the troubled one? More to the one that's causing all the problems. The reason why you have the tums, tum, 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 tums. The one that's always talking to the boy at 3 a.m. in the morning. You got to cut off their cell phone privileges. That one, the frustrating one. Why in the world? Because they needed a sacrifice. They needed somebody to stand in for them. God always seems like he gives more to those that have been lost the longest. But the funny part is, verse 28, he was angry. And wouldn't even go into the father's house. Look at that. He was angry and wouldn't go to the father's house because this sinner just popped up and now he gets to sit in the front of the church in the chief seats. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. Come on, Junior. Come on, Elder. Come on, Deke. Don't be like that. I know your brother or your sister is dealing with homosexual proclivities, but they're home now. I know that your brother or your sister is dealing with problems with finances, and they're always borrowing money and never will pay anybody back. I'm getting ready to give them some more. I know that your brother is, or your sister is talking to that same guy that same girl that does not want them, and y'all have a ton of kids and no rings, and now you want to talk to him again. Oh, she's pregnant again. And now they're showing up to church. So I know that you're feeling some kind of way, but come on in to my house. So my question is, why is the oldest son so angry and filled with resentment? You would figure that it would be a good thing that Junebug, Taterhead, would come to the church. You'd be happy that they showed up on their own and you didn't have to force them to come. They said that they'll Uber their way up here. You ain't got to give me no ride. I'm good. Was it because he saw how the father agonized over the younger son's distance from the family for such a long time? Youngest brother comes up and he's mad. I'm looking at it to see how my dad has been crying over you night after night, over and over again. Asking about you instead of talking about me. Asking where you are, screaming out in the middle of the night, my son, my youngest son, where are you? So I'm kind of hot with you, little brother. I'm kind of discontented. I really don't like the way that you did that. Maybe that's the reason why he was mad. Or maybe it was because he felt that after being blessed, talking about the younger brother here, after his younger brother was being blessed so much with so many resources that he wasted his opportunity, an opportunity he never thought he had the chance to seize. You had enough money for both of us, but you gave it all to him. And he wasted it. How come I didn't get a chance? How come I had to stay home after my sibling went to college? I was just as smart. I know a lot of stuff too, but I had to sacrifice and work just so that he could go. And he wastes it. I'm paying rent and working with the family business while my younger brother goes out and he wastes stuff. I'm angry. I don't even want to come back home. The one who stayed. Luke 15. 29 through 32 reveals a little bit more. And in verse 29 it says, but he answered and said to his father, look, for so many years, here's the motive, I've been serving you, I've been serving in ministry, I've been preaching your word, I've been leading the men, I've been leading the women, I've been ministering on Facebook, going to the inbox, I've been inviting people, I've been texting them, where are you at this Sunday? I thought that you were going to be here. I'm trying to do what Pastor says. Yet you have never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. How come you get my older brother a phone and I don't get one? How come he gets all of the privileges and I don't get one? I got good grades. He got all C's and one B. I got straight A's. I'm feeling some kind of way about this God. So in verse 30, he says, but when this son of yours, look at that, not my brother. When this son of yours came, who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes. Lord, he put him out there like that. You killed the fatted calf for him. In other words, the brother thought that he was unworthy and did not deserve the goodness of the father, especially since he was on church and at church on time every Sunday before the doors open, serving, sowing. One brother goes off to college and flunks out and gets a new car, while the other one is working in the garage and get nothing. A sister becomes a single mother with three children from three different fathers and gets married, while the other one has one child but can never get a proposal. Are you there? You were in church for years and years and never once left the ministry. Never spoke ill of the leaders. You gave even a couple of pennies to Pastor Martin's appreciation. Every single time without fail, sold time and money and effort, but it feels like there is no progress, while another brother or sister in Christ left without speaking to anyone. You tag them in the post, they just like it and won't say a word. After all that you've done, all the prayers in the inbox. Not only that, they throw shade on social media about the church and never said thank you for all the love they received. And now the pastor has the audacity, the living gall, to bring that same person up to the front of the church and decides to give them two free Snack Shack meals and a gift card to Jeremiah's Ice Cream. So this seems humorous, but something jumped out at me. Most of the attention is given to the fact that the younger son left the father's house, went to a far country, and that fact is true. He did give the younger son a lot of stuff. The younger son had wild women and neck bones, burnt through all the credit cards, crashed the car, ends up somewhere in Las Vegas with no clothes, comes to himself, catches a Greyhound bus for 49 hours. Y'all don't understand. To take to Tallahassee from Jacksonville, that's where I grew up at, when I was going to college, it would take us 4 hours for a two-hour trip because there was many stops along the way. But he gets his ticket, and I'm putting it in modern terms so you can kind of get what I'm saying. And travels all the way from Las Vegas all the way back to Castleberry and says, I'm home. Smelling like crap. Looking like crap. Don't have any money. Not booed up. With a phone asking for a Cash App to help me out. Again. And the older brother sees all of this. He's the one who's been playing since the beginning. He's the one who's been serving. It's kind of like Deacon Penn back there, who was here during the early days of the church. I was talking to Lady Martin the other day about how he was there painting Aloma in the first building, which was an old renter center. It's like him seeing somebody recently pop up after all those years of service and be like, hey, I want to be a deacon right now. And I say, yes. Make you feel some kind of way. So this morning's message is actually to the one who stayed. He went to a far country, the prodigal son. But the oldest one actually wasn't in the house either. You missed it. The youngest son, the one who squandered everything, was away from the house. But the youngest son wasn't in the house either. He was in the field. He was working. Working in the name of Jesus. Doing things because he felt obligated. Doing things because the spouse said so. Doing things because pastor said so. Doing things because the group notification went off and half of y'all turned off the notifications from DTCC family. He was working. He was in the field, but not in the father's house. One same son came to the father and received grace, but the other thought he should have been celebrated based on his works. Let me go even deeper. Are y'all ready? The sinners represent the youngest brother. The religious Pharisees represent the oldest brother. Let's go to the bowl seats. The youngest brother represents the new covenant. The oldest brother represents the old covenant. The new covenant. You mean I don't have to do all that and I can show up and I can still go to heaven? As long as I turn to you, confess, and say that I'm sorry? Yeah. See, the older brother is like, you should do some more work than all of that now. You need to go through some things. But the younger brother did go through some things. He lost everything. So sometimes you just got to leave folk alone and let them go through a time to wallow in that pig slop. Sometimes you just got to leave them alone. People have left here. No, I'm not going to like your post of you going through. You need to be in the hands of God. I have prayed. I have cried. And I have continued to pray. But you need to get right with God, not with me. I'll say that again. You need to get right with God, not with me. I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you in. But God does. Don't stay away from me. Or worry about staying away from me. Get close to him. The new covenant. You ain't got to do all that, y'all. You have to do is just accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you saved. The Pharisees didn't like that. They figured you need to be out working in the field some more. You need to be in 10 years of ministry first. And in some cases, that's true. You do have to be vetted. Al had to be vetted. Jamari had to be vetted. Other individuals had to get certain areas in their life together first before they stand before people. You have to be a good minister in your own household before you minister to others. Because if you have a crappy household and then you get in front of everybody else, your witness will be diluted. Because they'll say, you're a hypocrite. You're telling me to get myself in order, but look at your house. Amen. I don't want to hear nothing from you. Or I'll be polite and just smile. But I ain't going to hear what you got to say. There's wisdom behind that. So I get that. But that's not what this is talking about. This is talking about salvation and being in the presence of the Father. You don't have to do all of that. You just come as you are. And he got upset with that. That he got put to the front of the line. That he was the living embodiment of the last will be first and the first shall be last. The old covenant worked. But now we have a new covenant. Let's go even deeper. The younger brother or the youngest had the father on his mind, even at a distance. Oh, you had to. Oh, Lord. Even at a distance, he was thinking about God. So if you got a relative that says, I believe in God but won't set foot in the place, that doesn't mean I ain't thinking about him. You just got to go through a couple of things first to really find out that he's really real. Really real. Let me help you. This is an individual that left church as soon as they got grown. As soon as I get out of my mama's house, as soon as I go to college, I am not going to no church. I'm just talking about me. As soon as I got away from First Baptist Church of Oakland, 1025 Jesse Street in Jacksonville, Florida, 32225. Because I saw a bunch of silliness in the church. I was like, I'm never setting foot in the church again. Even when my homeboys tried to bring me to one, everybody was laughing and carry on. It was charismania. I was like, I am not doing this. So it was wild women and neck bones for me, and I was A-okay with it. See, church folk, you need to understand that sinners are not regretting not coming to church on a Sunday morning. It's like Tuesday to them. That's the truth. I'm just letting you know that. But if God has called them, that Tuesday morning normalcy on a Sunday morning will soon become uncomfortable. And they will come to the house of the Lord. Sometimes it takes trouble. Sometimes it takes toils and snares. Sometimes it takes a few folk dying. Sometimes it takes a Donald Trump being in for a second term. You heard it here first. And I told y'all. So the oldest, however, in contrast, did not know the intent of the father. You missed it. The youngest had the father on his mind at a distance. And he came to himself. He knew where he needed to go. Most of them know where they need to go. Most of the people in this community, from Altamont all the way to Canterbury to Winter Springs, they know exactly where they need to go. They know where they need to be. But sometimes when you're doing right, that makes you feel some kind of way, and I just don't want to be around that. I don't want to be disrespectful to you. I'm not going to play with God. So the youngest one had the father on his mind at a distance. But the oldest, watch this, did not know the intent or have the heart of the father, even though he was in his presence. In other words, let me put it to you in another way. He grew up in church, but never had a relationship with God. You get that? How some people can grow up in church and say, because I grew up in church, I know the things of God. But oftentimes when I hear people say, I know the things of God and I grew up in church, they say, I decided to go a different way once I really started reading the scriptures for myself. But I tell you this, that whenever you're in the Father's house, you can't stay away forever. So the father oftentimes just has to let people go. But boy, when you come back, Lord have mercy, we're going to have a potluck after service. What? Pastor Martin, you going to pull out the money again? No, baby. You've done enough. Babe, well, I got to. I got my own money. Don't worry. You can have the house card. I got my own personal card. And we're going to have a party. The irony of all this is that both of them, watch this, were lost. Both of them were lost. The one who was at a distance and the one who was there all the time. It's like you being here every Sunday and you don't even know why you're here. You just come because that's how you grew up. You grew up in church. So it's a part of a tradition. But I'm reminded of even how when Samson took up a jawbone of a donkey out of the desert and had 1,000 Philistines come towards him. He slayed every single one of them. All 1,000. Ah! Over and over against all his enemies until the jawbone was blood red. But then at the end of the battle, he took that thing that was full of blood and tossed it away. Because he knew that in a future battle, that jawbone wasn't going to work again. Some traditions are not going to work at this moment in time. You have to do some things different. And so the father said, instead of coming from a judgmental standpoint, I'm going to embrace the one that distanced himself from me. And I threw the older brother in a tizzy, if you will. So they were both lost. Verse 31 says, as I come to a close, and he said to him, son, you have always been with me. Come on now. And all that is mine is yours. Look at that. Again, I'm going to use brother Dion as an example. You have the same access and rights and privileges to what's in my disposal, the same as the one who just showed up today. Both of you all have access to me. Son, you have always been with me. And all that is mine is yours too. But we had to celebrate and rejoice for this brother of yours, you see how it says this, for this, he said, this son of yours, but the father goes back, this brother of yours, letting y'all know that y'all are related and both of y'all in the same boat. It's just I'm using different approaches with y'all. See, if you knew my heart, then you would be celebrating too. Just to let you know, just because you show up here every Sunday doesn't mean that you have the heart of God. And just because you do a lot of work in the field doesn't mean that you're close to the Lord. So they had to celebrate. For this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live, and was lost and has been found. This story not only tells us of God's grace and mercy for those who have left externally and have not been back to a church because of foolishness in the pastor, foolishness in the people, a lot of carnality. It's also for those who left God internally, who are there on a regular basis, but hearts are far from him, have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof, that show up every Sunday listening to the preaching, but not hearing it. And you see them in the same state, because one of the things that you see about the oldest brother is that his condition never changed. But yet he was with the Father the entire time. You can be with God and not know him. But my prayer for each and every one of you is that you know him. The Father is seeking the both of you, those that have been distant and haven't been to the house of the Lord in a long time, but you know what you need to do. But he also is talking to those that are in this house on this Sunday morning who have been faithful to the ministry, who have been faithful in the community, who've given their last, who may not even have a job, willing to ride the van, willing to catch a ride, willing to serve, willing to stay after hours, willing to watch the spiritual father go through on behalf of people that don't even want to deal with them. The Father is seeking both of you and desires to bring you close, not only by coming back to church, but becoming the church with a deeper level of intimacy through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the truth of the matter. So to the one that stayed, God got you. He loves you just as much as the one who has been gone and hasn't set foot in the house of the Lord for years, or only comes on Christmas, Easter, and Mother's Day. He loves both of you all the same. You get that? So Jesus loved the Pharisees just as much as he loved the sinners. Both of them were in the same category. He handled them differently. He was gentle with the sinners, but he was a little bit more rough with those that claimed to know him externally but did not know him internally. It's like me preaching for all of these years because I'm looking for popularity and looking for external things and go to hell anyway, because my heart was not for him in the first place. A deeper level of Jesus Christ is what we need. Come on, stand to your feet. So to all my folks that didn't show up this morning, I love you. And God cares about you. It's not me that you're being inconsistent with. Be consistent with God. You need him, and we need him now more than ever before. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. And while I'm getting ready to pray, if you need prayer, come on up to this altar right now. so that we can pray for you. For those that feel like they've been here but are not close to God, come. For those that know that they've been distant and want to get right with God, come. If you're watching online this morning, come. Come on Thursday night. Come next Sunday and bring your family with you so that you can have a life-changing experience. Amen. Amen. Lord, Father, we thank you for this time. We honor you, Lord God, and we lift up your holy name. We thank you, Lord God, for giving us this word this morning that addresses everybody that belongs to you. Lord God, we speak and we pray for those that are distant and know where they should be. Grace them, Lord God, to return, for we will embrace them with open arms and celebrate their relationship with you. Lord God, we also pray for those that have been faithful to you, that have been serving, that have been giving, that have been loving, that have been supporting, that do show up when no one else will show up, will clean when no one else will clean. We'll reach out to people who consistently reject them. Lord God, I pray that you give strength to those. For everything that you have also belongs to them. Teach them to come closer to you, Lord God. And not get weary. And not get tired of doing right. Let us hold on to your promise, Lord God, for there will be a great reward for those that diligently seek you. Only you know the time and place when the overflow will come. But when it comes, Lord God, let us be consumed by the wave and ride until you come again. We thank you, Lord God. We honor you. I pray this prayer now for every individual under the sound of my voice. In Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Well, this is it, and that is all. Again, people of God, if you're feeling distant on the inside, this message was for you. This message was for you. If you know somebody who has been away from the house of the Lord and are keeping their distance on purpose, pray for them. One of the most unlikely things kept to me this morning, I got a gift from a person that hasn't really set foot in this place yet. But it touched my heart so, because I know that we're making an impact. And sometimes the best thing that you need to do is have love and patience and be consistent as a representative of Jesus Christ before someone, and then God will do the rest. Amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I love you. We can go now. Be blessed, people of God.